The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition. It feels like we've gotten to the hump in the week, an important milestone. Dom will join us at 4 o'clock today, as is his custom. And I got a fun guest joining way before that, Dr. Harvey Kay, the incomparable Dr. Harvey Kay, fresh off advising the Marianne Williamson campaign. Apparently, she is resuspended, so Harvey's available, and he's going to join me at 3:30. We're going to hold him over to the happy hour at 4. And, you know, let Dom take a crack at our buddy, Dr. Harvey Kay. Tomorrow on the big show, I should look ahead. I've been booking ahead. We've got Mark Pocan, my congressman. Always a great day when Mark Pocan is in the district. I'm not sure if he's coming into the studio, but he will be somewhere in Madison. And we'll interview him tomorrow on the big show, about 4 o'clock Central Time. So please make a note of that. And also coming up on Friday, Pete Schwabba, my buddy Pete Schwabba. He is the host of the Nightlight Show. Comes on each and every evening right here on WMDX 92.7 FM. Pete Schwabba joining me on Friday. We're going to, you know, tell you what you should watch over the course of the weekend. He's more of an entertainment guy, and it's Friday, so we'll lighten it up a little bit on Friday with Pete Schwabba. And then next week, back to the political hurricane. Monday, I have just confirmed, CNN coming in to interview yours truly, Crudy getting interviewed by CNN. I'm glad somebody's listening. I'm a little embarrassed to say the topic of the conversation, this national attention focused on yours truly, RFK Jr. I'm like, what? Come on, man. I got to talk about RFK Jr. in the state of Wisconsin. That is the topic you chose. And apparently I bit the other day. I was talking about it, and someone at CNN found the tape or listened in real time. Who knows? Maybe streaming on the civicmedia.us app. But CNN coming on Monday in studio, and of course, Donald Trump coming Tuesday. We talked too much about that. My wife chastised me. Do you really have to talk about Donald Trump coming to Wisconsin that much? Nobody wants to see him. I'm thinking some do, just no one that, you know, is of sound mind or body. But here's where I want to start the political conversation today. And Rich, how you doing, fella? Off air, he tells me fantastic. Good thing he didn't say effing fantastic, you know, because occasionally I'm greeted that way. The front page, or at least I think it should be. Dan Bice often finds himself back on page 6 of the Journal Sentinel, if you know what I'm saying. But today's story, I find it intriguing. Pot versus kettle calling black. I confuse the headline. I feel like Yoda talking here. Justice Rebecca Bradley rips her opponent's partisan activity while defending her own, according to the headline. Daniel Bice. We know Dan. For the state Supreme Court Justice, Rebecca Bradley. And if you're unaware, she's the bad Bradley. Partisanship is just fine for me, but not for thee. In a December 22 dissent, Bradley accused 4 members of the High Court's new liberal majority of being handmaidens of the Democratic Party who deliver spoils to Democrats and trample the rule of law. As Bice writes, youch, Bradley was especially, and again, this is the bad Bradley, was especially upset that Justice Janet Protasiewicz's campaign had accepted nearly $10 million from the Democratic Party in last year's spring election, and then voted to overturn Republican-favored legislative maps. Protasiewicz's victory gave liberals a one-vote majority for the first time in more than a decade. I know, I've been doing this for more than a decade. But it turns out Bradley, one of the three conservatives on the bench, was involved in her own partisan political activity just weeks earlier. Oh, this is a shocker, is it not? On December 5th, Bradley sworn four leaders of the Republican Women of Waukesha County. Here was the pledge, according to a video that was made of the private event this week. By accepting this post, do you promise to exert every effort to conduct federation activities that will attract women in your community who believe in the Republican Party? I want to make sure I quote Bad Bradley correctly here, and its principles in electing Republicans to all level of government. Now, that's what Bradley asked the female leaders, according to the video as mentioned. Electing Republicans to all level of government, Dan Bice questions. The four women all pledged they would. This, however, was just not another GOP group. The Republican Women of Waukesha County once gave a standing ovation to the mother of Kyle Rittenhouse. You remember Rittenhouse, don't you? The shooter, the Kenosha shooter, killed two. But he got away with it. So, you know, he's been completely vindicated. I did see he got booed off the stage by some young student activist at the University of Memphis the other day. You know, I grinned a little because I'm just that sort of guy. But this group of women, the Republican Women of Waukesha County, once gave a standing ovation to the mother of Kyle Rittenhouse. That's some fine parenting. Didn't she drive the kid up to Wisconsin? Anyways, Rittenhouse, who was acquitted of killing two men, wounding another, and endangering two more in a series of shootings during a night of protest in Kenosha in 2020. The president of the group, Alexandria Schweitzer, also gained widespread attention nearly a year ago for bringing sex toys as props to a Merton school board meeting. I like to leave the marital aids at home. Don't bring them to the school board meetings. Not even to try and make a point. As Dan Bice continues here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the featured speaker at one of the group's 2022 events was conservative influencer Brandon Straka, who previously pled guilty to one misdemeanor count of engaging in disorderly and disruptive conduct after being part of the mob of rioters outside the Capitol on January 6, 2021. You get the idea? Again, this is Dan Bice writing. Still, justices and judicial candidates of all political stripes go to party events while running for office. But Bradley was taking this step further by participating in ministerial functions of an overtly partisan political organization by speaking to them and swearing in its officers. Former state Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Jeske said she would never have performed this task during her time on the bench, especially when justices were hearing and deciding cases. After the election was over, I just stayed away from both parties completely, Jeske said, because I didn't think it was appropriate as a nonpartisan judge to do that. These days, many people view the Supreme Court justices through partisan lenses, Jeske said. For this reason, she said, the members of the High Court should avoid political entanglements with either party, particularly when the court is in session. Yeah, that should matter. Here's a quote from Jeske, the former Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin. It would seem to me imperative that each one of those justices stay away from the political parties in any way so that it doesn't really emphasize the fact that people are attached to political parties. But Bradley, this again, the bad Bradley, the conservative Bradley, the what? Do as I say, not as I do, Bradley, said she saw nothing wrong with her actions. But Protasiewicz, that's a problem over there. In fact, she said, It was an honor to swear in community volunteers to various organizations, no matter their party. She said in the past she has accepted donations from the state GOP and the party's billionaire supporters, Diane Hendricks and Richard Uihlein. Oh, I bet she did. Here is a quote. Supreme Court justices regularly administer the oath of office to both Democrats and Republicans, as well as school board members, Bad Bradley said in an email, equating this ceremonial service with Janet Protasiewicz manipulating the law to rule in favor of the Democratic Party after receiving a $10 million campaign contribution, once again displays your liberal bias. I mean, what is your bias then? What is your bias? You know, you could be one of the dark money voices in the campaign ads. That's why I did the voice like that. You know, just to give you an example. Still not over that, apparently, says Dan Weiss. But can you really equate swearing in leaders to a group like the Republican Women of Waukesha County with doing the same for members of, you know, let's call it a local school board? Chris Wallach, executive director of the liberal group, A Better Wisconsin Together, said there's a big difference. Justices swear in public officials like legislators and school board members who are nonpartisan because those public offices are required by law to take an oath of office, he noted. That's not what Rebecca Bradley was doing here, Wallach said. She was encouraging partisan private citizens to elect more MAGA Republicans like herself, even if they're elected to supposedly nonpartisan offices. Note Dan Weiss. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. The Hump Day Edition. We're halfway home. Well, not in this show. We got lots more of this show. We got fine guests coming soon. Dr. Harvey Kay, I hope you're going to stick around for him. Also, my little buddy Dominic, he's coming. He'll be here. You know what it's like. A little late to the party each and every day. He joins at 4. And you can join right now. You can be a part. Phone lines, they're open. They're toll free. 844-967-2789. I hope it's a whopper, but Wednesday edition. Stick around. I know it will be.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Glad you joined the political party this fine Wednesday afternoon here in Madison. Going to get a little warmer out there, I hope. I'm hoping spring's on the way. The election coming up just, what, 6 short days. April 2nd and a wake-up. Donald Trump coming to town that day. I'll try not to talk about it too much. My wife chastised me. And CNN coming to see me. I'm going to brag a little because CNN doesn't come to see Crudy each and every day. That's a rare occurrence. It's been a few years. So I look forward to being interviewed and being part of their Tuesday evening and apparently Wednesday morning coverage from the great state of Wisconsin. We'll tell you more. We'll share the details. I feel quite confident. But the Bad Bradley out there. She's calling Janet Protasiewicz a partisan, but she is more than willing to participate in the installation of these Waukesha wackadoos, I'm going to call them, these women of Waukesha, these very partisan MAGA Republicans. Very partisan act, but she doesn't see it that way when she looks in the mirror. 844-967-2789. Bob from Madison, you're first today. Bob, welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, I've finally discovered the reason the right wing has been so crazy about this abortion issue for 50 years. They needed a religious issue of some kind. And guess what? Angels on the head of a pin was no longer available.
Hmm. Interesting comment, Bob. 844-967-2789 if you'd like to join the show. You got to let them screen you and move on. But I want to point out, RNC coming to Milwaukee, and we got our buddy Dr. Harvey K. He's coming soon, 3:30 he joins. But the RNC is now headed up by Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump. And I'm not saying that there is a brilliant Trump, but even by marriage, I mean, the fact that she married Eric, she found this man acceptable in some way, shape, or form, enough to accept his hand in matrimony. And I mean, I know he's what, the son of a supposedly rich man. But I've seen her out there singing, auto-tuned. I mean, she won't back down. And she was questioned today, and I did see some of this earlier, so that's why I think I'll share it with you. The RNC coming to town this summer. Milwaukee, right? The town specifically. I believe that's July 15th through 18th. And Laura Trump's going to be presiding, in part, co-chairing this big party coming to Milwaukee. And if you'll recall, last time they had this political party, this convention, Republicans didn't bother to put forth the platform. They didn't need one. Whatever Trump says, that's our platform. Well, now that his daughter-in-law is in charge, what can we expect now? Allison Durr at the Journal Sentinel reports the Republican Party may return this year to adopting a position platform after not taking a step at its convention 4 years ago, you know, breaking more than 100 years of tradition. Tradition! Laura Trump, now the new co-chair of the Republican National Committee and daughter-in-law of former President Donald Trump, told the Journal Sentinel she expected a return to the party platform in 2024 when the Republican National Convention is held in Milwaukee. If you want to call it a common sense platform, perhaps that would be a good way to go. Yes, that might be a good way to go. But I don't see your party putting forth a common sense, let's just call it, platform. She noted that the organizers are still in the planning process, but when asked directly if the party platform would return in 2024, she said, "Yeah, I think so. Aren't you in charge? Don't you have some say in that outcome?" Well, of course, the old man, your father-in-law, has most of the say. Now, in 2020, delegates at the Republican National Convention did not adopt a new party platform, with a Republican National Committee resolution citing, you know, the significantly scaled back size and scope of the convention in the coronavirus pandemic. The RNC has unanimously voted to forgo, although they spelled it wrong, the Convention Committee on Platform, in appreciation of the fact that we did not want a small contingent of delegates formulating a new platform without the breadth of perspectives within the ever-growing Republican movement. It's hard for me to even read that statement aloud, you know, because it's hard. Had the committee been able to convene, it would have undoubtedly unanimously agreed to reassert the party's strong support for President Donald Trump and his administration, stated the one-page resolution that preceded the 66-page 2016 platform. Here was our platform 4 years ago. It was good enough then. It's good enough now. Well, now here in 2024, what would they change about it? What evolution has this Republican Party made? Same guy, same nominee, same allegations, except now they're criminal. What's the change in platform you're expecting? More respect for women? Please, I'd like to take you seriously, Republicans, but that's getting really hard. 844-967-2789. We'll sneak one more caller in before our pal, Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus. He's kind of a big shot, just like you, Jack from Merrimack. Welcome back. What do you got for us?
The platform of the current Republican Party, which has been published by the Heritage Foundation, it's called Project 2025, and it is essentially a fascist takeover of the entire government of the United States of America. Many have already got the Supreme Court anyway, they're just going to go farther. They're going to wipe out the civil service system and put in lackeys. They're going to wipe out the Justice Department and put in lackeys. They're going to destroy the EPA. They're just going to dump it, I think. same with Department of Education. Basically, they're going to re-educate everybody because so they don't need a Department of Education. I mean, these guys, this is crazy. Anybody that even considers voting for Trump, that's what you're going to get if he gets in, and you better be aware of it. Most of the people that, one person that I heard that said, if I wanted to live in a democracy, I wouldn't be voting for Trump. Most of those people have no idea what it's like to live under a dictatorship. I've been there. I've lived under it, but I have been in countries for as much as 6 weeks where they were living under a dictatorship. Let me tell you, it's not a real good situation.
What's the biggest difference, Jack? Because I don't have any personal experience in a dictatorship, not even for 6 minutes. What is the biggest difference? What is the tone difference with the people?
Well, one of the things is that people in particular always looking over their shoulder. Am I saying the right thing? Am I making the right decisions? Because if you're not, you can be arrested with no particular reason for it at all, and other than you said the wrong thing at the wrong time. That's just one of the things.
Jack, appreciate your call. Short on time. I got to tell you, without the freedom of the press, freedom of speech, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, I got to think I'd be in big trouble. I don't think I would survive well under the new Trump administration, should that come to pass. So let's not let that come to pass. How could we? We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to freedom of speech and democracy and all the important things. Kids, grandkids, future generations. Let's keep democracy for them. Let's not vote for Trump. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. My good friend Dr. Harvey K. joins us next.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. It's getting better right now because I've been joined by a good friend. He is Dr. Harvey K. He is Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joins me live via video link, I guess. Harvey, welcome back to the big show, man. How you been?
I've been okay. Before we talk, and I'm eager to talk to you, does it ever occur to you that the producer says I'm going to kill the mics now?
Yeah, chokes them off. Puts them out the pasture, sends them off to the farm.
I hope you don't take that personally when he says that.
I do not. Good. I occasionally utilize violent language in my own discussions off air. Never about anyone in particular, Harvey. Let me ask you, my friend, you've been doing some political work. You, as I understand it, were an unpaid advisor to the Marianne Williamson campaign. What were you doing for Marianne, the Democratic candidate that's now suspended?
Yeah. Okay. So 2 years ago, I'll just say 2 years ago, Marianne contacted me because she was very interested in having me join her on her podcast. And she wanted to talk about FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, especially in terms of the New Deal. That was primary. But beyond that as well, because she ended up calling me to do yet a second one on the question of how FDR would handle inflation. Keep in mind, this is almost 2 years ago. And then afterwards, she and I got in a series of conversations, and she was eager to know whether or not I thought she should make a run for the presidency again. And I said to her that I really did believe that people should hear what she had to say, because as I understood it, she was definitely wanting to advance an FDR-like agenda. And I did say to her at the time that if Bernie should enter the race, that I would not publicly endorse her. I was still with Bernie. Well, Bernie never did, but in our ensuing conversations, and she came out to Wisconsin one time to talk and also to talk here at the university, she told me she was particularly interested in my helping her, advising her in terms of FDR, and especially, and this will ring a bell with you, regarding FDR's call for in 1944 for an economic bill of rights for all Americans. So for a good year, I helped her speech writing. I helped her launch the campaign. I helped her give a speech at the National Press Club on the on a 21st century economic bill of rights. So basically it was ideas, history and politics and ideas, and also encouraging her in terms of how she addressed crowds that might be more often, you know, working people as opposed to the audiences that for maybe 20 years she spoke to in a, as a spiritual leader. And I had made it clear to her that I was not very interested in spirituality. In fact, I told her that I rarely ever, if ever, use the word spiritual in my conversations or speeches. I just, it's not me. But I was keen on the fact that she really wanted to advance the proposal that FDR made for an economic bill of rights. Universal health care, the right to a job, the right to a job, in fact, at a living wage, the right to a free public education, things like that. So that was pretty much my role. And I mean, some people would say he's crazy. He didn't ask for any money, but seriously, we were in regular contact daily. I did not go on the road with her. I was not out there campaigning with her, but I was her, I would say, her primary ideas advisor for quite some time.
Let me take that one step further. Obviously, Joe Biden is the nominee now for the Democratic Party, and there have been efforts afoot. And I think I know your answer because I think you told me before we came on the air, Harvey.
Happy to repeat myself.
Dom and I were in Michigan, and we saw this uncommitted voter movement, like 200,000. And there was a real hesitancy to support Joe Biden publicly. Even on the Detroit streets, we went to Cadillac Square. It was hard to get people to say, I'm Joe, and I don't question my support of Joe Biden. And I thought this is a pretty Democratic town. But that uncommitted movement had some real traction in Michigan. And there's this secondary movement here in the state of Wisconsin. I forget what they call it. Basically, it's voting uncommitted. It's an action to say, Joe Biden, I don't support your Gaza policy. That seems to be the underlying premise. And Harvey, you're a Wisconsinite. I know, you know, election day is coming. You've already voted.
I voted today. As my badge here says, I voted. I have to be in New York next week, so I voted today.
So, Harvey, I realize Marianne Williamson ran under the greater Democratic Party tent, but something of a protest against the current incumbent. So what's your attitude when it comes to, you know, protest in the primary and this effort to vote for not Biden?
Okay. Well, I'll start by saying that at no point did I actually believe she could win the nomination. My hope.
I'll be truthful with you, Harvey. Nobody did, but please continue.
But this is important. I did hope that she would garner enough delegates along the way to take her arguments to the convention. But this is the case. I'm going to be very clear about this. It is a tragedy that the Democratic National Committee did everything in their power to keep any kind of inside the party candidate from gaining any kind of traction, in because they were blocking people from even getting on the ballot, though she did get on the ballot in quite a few states. And the other thing is that the media clearly took its cues from, and I mean the big cable networks, CNN and MSNBC, took their cues from the DNC. They did not have her on to do town halls when they had other candidates like Nikki Haley on, and Marianne was actually doing better in many places than Nikki Haley was in relation to their respective candidates who were, you know, likely to win the nomination. So here's the thing. So having said that, it is the case that I would not have worked with her and supported her if she had run as an independent or third party candidate. I would not have done so. As I told you before, back in 1980, I voted for Barry Commoner, who was a renowned anti-nuclear activist and environmental activist. He ran under the rubric, it was the Citizens Party, as I recall. And I afterwards, I decided that I had wasted my vote. I mean, as a historian, I think it's the case that, number one, we live in a two-party system for better or worse, and that's the place where you have to do your work. A lot of people are going to disagree with me. The RFK people will disagree with me. The Cornel West people will disagree with me, but you've got to do it inside the party, is my thinking. Not that the party is sacred. It's that that's the vehicle for political action and political change. Of course, the problem is that the Democratic Party is not controlled, dominated, strongly influenced enough, I believe, by progressives. But my position is no third parties, no independent candidates for the at the presidential level. We go inside the party, and if we can't win, if we can't win enough inside the party, the problem isn't merely the party and all the money and power that they that it possesses. The problem is also perhaps in our message and our way of getting the message out. That's my view. I may be naive, but that is it.
Dr. Harvey Kaye, my fine guest live via stream. Harvey, I still didn't hear a clear answer, so you vote uncommitted.
I'm sorry. Repeat the question. I do not believe there should. Look, this is personal. I voted today. I did not vote uncommitted. I don't think uncommitted is significant enough as a movement to make a difference in Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. I know that they'll say, oh, look, there's already movement by Joe Biden regarding Gaza. That movement is not merely a consequence of this anger that goes uncommitted in the ballot, in the voting booth. It's also a consequence of the humanity that he's probably, look, again, people can accuse him of being naive. Joe Biden does not, I believe, want to support the mass murder of Palestinians. It is the case, however, that there is an alliance with Israel, and he remains committed to it. So he is caught. But I do not support uncommitted voting. It's not me. I don't have an argument beyond that, other than the fact that we have to win in November. As Adolf Reed, okay, a renowned Black Marxist scholar, wrote this week in The Nation, or at least in the copy of The Nation that I got, he said that the left, as far left as those of us who think of ourselves as socialists, we must make sure that Trump and MAGA and the fascists do not win, period. And I think that now is the time, as I did back in 2020, when I decided there was no, that Bernie was pulling out, I was going with Biden because I want the Democrats to win.
He is Dr. Harvey Kaye, my fine guest. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom's going to join us top of the four. You'll get a little crack at Harvey as well. But Harvey, let me turn the attention. You mentioned the third party candidates. CNN actually called me today. We're going to do a little interview on Monday in regards to RFK and the apparent appetite for RFK, at least in the polling here in Wisconsin. I think it's like 16%. And he rolled out his vice presidential candidate, this Shanahan lady, this tech millionaire, multimillionaire. Seems like her only qualification is being very, very rich. And he admires her athleticism, he said. What a strange thing to say about one's co-pilot. But Harvey, what do you think the impact, will this have a Ross Perot like effect on any of the swing states, including Wisconsin, the one I care about most? Could this put a wrench in the works?
Look, I'm not a pollster, so I can't project the outcome. But yeah, it could have that kind of effect, the Ross Perot effect. But I can tell you as well, this is interesting. He's going to pull votes from the Trump following as well. I think Biden might have a little more to worry about than Trump in those terms, but Trump will lose votes to RFK as well. If indeed Trump survives till November and Biden survives till November, I mean, we're talking about two rather elderly men whose lives are challenged in many ways right now. So I'm not even sure who the candidates will be, but right now I'm going to be voting for Biden. I'll be clear about it. And in a million years, I wouldn't touch Trump, and nor would I touch RFK.
But we know Harvey Kaye here in the state of Wisconsin, we saw, who was it? Gary Johnson garnered 131,000 votes in 2016. I believe somewhere north of 100,000. Jill Stein got 31,000, which was approximately the margin of loss. And I know that Hillary Clinton was not the most popular Democratic nominee of all time. She had lost the primary here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm not trying to relitigate all the rights and wrongs of that campaign, but the margin of loss was certainly affected by the third parties, at least in the state of Wisconsin. Harvey, it's not just RFK Jr. It could be Jill Stein. It could be a number of third-party candidates. Do you think Wisconsin's electorate, at least those of us that don't want fascism, don't want Trump again, don't want MAGA, do you think they've learned a lesson from 2016?
I hope so. Let's hope that Joe Biden has learned a lesson from those experiences. That let's hope that Joe Biden does not fail to figure out, look, he's got Bernie's support. He has AOC's support. He ought to talk to them seriously, not only about, you know, I appreciate your support. He ought to talk about what it is that he can do between now and November. No, sooner. He can't wait till November. Between now and August to make sure that Americans realize that he has a vision. But let me make something clear. I'm voting for Biden because I don't want Trump. Okay. I have serious reservations. I've always had serious reservations about Joe Biden. Can he overcome the reservations that people have about him, which are now multiplied by in terms of age and in terms of Gaza? My concern has been that he is not really progressive enough on questions of health care and related social policy matters.
He is Dr. Harvey K. We're going to keep him around. We're going to let Dom say hi to Harvey at 4 o'clock. But Harvey, I want to ask you, you know, you got some politicking going on in your backyard. Mike Gallagher, he's out spending more time with family or perhaps cashing some lobbyist checks. We'll see. And I know you're traveling next week, but President, former President, cheat old Messiah, Donald Trump coming to your backyard, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Harvey, I want to get to your take. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Harvey co-deviling for a bit. Dom coming soon. You could always join. 844-967-2789. The Hump Day Edition. I hope you're enjoying it so far. It's only going to get better.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. Dr. Harvey K., my fine guest, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, Packer fan, friend of ours. Appreciate you sticking around, Harvey. Can't wait till Dom joins the conversation in about 10 minutes. But I want to, kind of be selfish here for a bit longer. Harvey, Mike Gallagher, the congressman, your congressman, right? Gallagher represents you.
I didn't vote for him.
I didn't say you did, Harvey, but he is the congressman from the 8th. You live in the 8th, right, buddy?
Yes. Yes. Continue, because I have a whole series of answers to what I think may be your question.
Well, here's the question. Now, Gallagher's getting out, and last couple of steps he took. A, he voted against impeaching the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And B, he rolled out this big TikTok ban, and they said, now I'm getting out of Dodge, but not until after the statutory date that would trigger a special election. So Harvey, it seems to me, although I'm no big fan of Mike Gallagher, a rising Republican star is quitting the sport, and B, he's doing so with the most harm to his own party, Harvey.
Gotta love that. You gotta love that. I mean, it is fascinating because I can tell you all the way through my wife still believes that writing to your congressman matters. And she wrote to him a number of times, most especially when he voted to end Obamacare. Am I not mistaken? He was part of that.
Well, I'm sure he would have been down. I mean, he was 95% down for the MAGA ticket and everything else.
Yeah.
The only part he wasn't down was the violence he was targeted with, as many of the Congress people were on January 6th. Other than that specific, I am endangered issue, Harvey, I didn't see a lot of courage out of this guy.
No, absolutely. Exactly. No, this exactly. In fact, it's been surprising these last number of months. Okay. Now, did he have an awakening? Did he become woke regarding the Constitution? I don't know. He's a pretty smart guy. He's got a PhD in strategic studies out of Georgetown, I believe. I mean, I don't doubt his intellect at all, but I do doubt his political judgment. But here's the interesting thing. Let's put it in a narrative so people understand this. I was convinced. Were you not convinced that he had higher political aspirations?
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't run for Senate against Tammy Baldwin this term.
Right. I thought he was going to run for governor. Then I thought he was going to run for Senate. And now he's literally brought an end to his political career unless something revolutionary happens to the Republican Party and they actually become conservative instead of utterly reactionary and fascist again. So it's amazing to me that he literally cuts off his political career. Now, it also means he's not going to be working for Fox News, I assume. Okay. So that's not the where he's going. Have you heard any rumors as to what his career?
Oh, I'm sure he's going to get paid, Harvey. You know, family, young family at home. I'm sure he'll spend a little time at the Little League. But quite frankly, I think this is him running away from the MAGA agenda. I don't see how you would say it's anything but.
That's what it looks like. Then that in itself is rather amazing. It's so hard to know. I will tell you, it's funny. I didn't mention this to you on any time we spoke before. I'm not going to name names or what group, but a major organization director called me to ask if I might be interested in running for Congress. Okay. for the seat here. And I laughed and I said, no way. Okay. But there were people I would like to see do it, though. I can't imagine at this late moment they would do so.
Well, you know, I've got a few insights, Harvey. I got a few birds telling me we're going to be very happy about a week from now. You know, towards the end of next week, there'll be, you know, new blood in the water. But let's talk about the Republicans, the known knowns, the known evils, I would say. Harvey, Andre Jacques, and I don't know how close you watch the state politics here in Wisconsin, but
not
Andre Jacques is particularly unsavory. I mean, this guy moved from the assembly up to the state senate, but he wrote a letter to the vice president on January 5th asking him to basically set aside the will of Wisconsin voters. The guy got COVID, nearly died from it. He's still anti-vaccine, and he is one of the most rabid anti-abortionists in the state of Wisconsin. Harvey, him and Roger Roth are your options on the Republican side. And I think there are some candidates that, you know, would certainly have a path. And I know that this will be a red district, but I hear it bantered about Dr. Kristen Lierley, an OBGYN, and this issue of abortion certainly on the ballot still, Harvey. You put an anti-abortion guy like Andre Jacques, and this is just crudely projecting at this moment, but you put Dr. Kristen Lierley against Andre Jacques, I like her chances.
I think you're right. You know, once upon a time, and this was when I arrived in Green Bay 45 years ago. This was a predominantly, if not overwhelmingly, Catholic part of the state. And the fact is that Catholics generally, you know, opposed abortion. But this is 45 years later. And I can imagine Lierley doing quite well on the grounds that women's right to choose is paramount.
Well, it was instructional, perhaps, that race in Alabama last night. There was a state-level special election, and the Democratic candidate won in Alabama, running on pro-women's reproductive rights and stripping their stupid in vitro fertilization ruling off the books through legislation. But Harvey Cabe, my good friend and fine guest, let me ask you, I know you're leaving town, but Donald Trump's coming to Green Bay. I understand he still owes the community some money from the last couple times he came. But Harvey, why Green Bay, Wisconsin? Why is Trump coming? He hasn't been to Wisconsin since 2022, but he's coming now. What do you think?
Okay, let's recall. In 2016, he won Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. That's what gave him the victory in the Electoral College. Okay, why did he do that? Because the folks of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin were absolutely angry and outraged at the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party under Bill Clinton enacted NAFTA. And they were not about to forgive a Clinton so readily, amongst other reasons. So seriously speaking, he sees Wisconsin as ripe. My, as I saw the polls these last several months, Pennsylvania and Michigan are dangerous for the Democrats. Wisconsin was more likely to go Democratic than were Pennsylvania and Michigan at the presidential level. So he's read it. He's going to visit Wisconsin a lot. And I know we're running out of time, or I mentioned to you a story from when it, back in 2016.
Well, maybe there'll be time once Dom joins. Dr. Harvey K, he's sticking around for the happy hour. I hope you do as well. More Devil's Advocates, more Dr. Harvey K, and Dom, right here. I'm coming.